This is a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. Go to allthews.3cr.org.au.
Panoply, panorama, panpipe, pansy, aha, pansexual, knowing no boundaries of sex or gender. Sound interesting? Then join Sally on Sundays at noon for Out of the Pan. All those gender questions making you think too hard? Whether it's transgender, bisexual, polyamorous or beyond, we'll throw those questions into the pan and cook up the answers for you. So go on, push that gender envelope, only on 3CR 855am digital and 3cr.org.au. Let's go!
3CR 855am, 3CR digital, 3cr.org.au and 3CR on demand. Out of the Pan with Sally, first broadcasting noon through one every Sunday afternoon. Thanks for your company. 3CR broadcasts from the lands of the Kulin Nations at the intersection of the contested lands of the Wurundjeri and Bunurong peoples. And we pay respects to elders past, present and emerging. Hello to any Aboriginal Torres Strait Islander First Nations people tuning in. Thanks for your company. And we acknowledge that all the lands were stolen and never ceded. Always was, always will be, Aboriginal land. I'm Sally Goldner. I use the pronouns she and her. Out of the Pan is a show, as we like to say, covering pansexual issues, knowing no boundaries of sex or gender. And today will be one of those musical genre days where we go pan-genre. Stay tuned for all the musics on that. And I've got a great guest on the line soon, and I'll explain why we opened with the song we did. There is sometimes some rhyme and reason to this show. And if you want to get in touch with the show to talk about stuff, ask questions perhaps of our guest and other things, there's lots of ways to do it. You can email outofthepan855@gmail.com, SMS 61456751215, Twitter, Mastodon, Blue Sky, Instagram, @SalGoldSaidSo, and that's the bottom line. Facebook, my page, Sally Goldner, and Out of the Pan, 3CR, 855 AM, Melbourne. And you can post PO Box 1277, Collingwood 3066. Any opinions I express on the show are strictly my own. One opinion that it's uncontestable is to thank the fab crew from Out of the Blue, diving deep for the marine news, as they do every Sunday morning from 11:30 till noon. And yes, let's keep all the species that we can on our planet, whether it's on land or in water. Great show, as always, always very informative and thoughtful. Well, we opened up with Jojo Zepp and the Falcons from way back in the 70s, and a puppet on a string. Well, there's puppets of all sorts. We love diversity on this show, whether it's gender diversity, sexual romantic orientation diversity, how you do your relationships diversity. Well, all sorts of puppets, including snuff puppets, who are part of the Fuse Arts Festival put on by the fab city of Darebin. And on the line to talk about snuff puppets is Opal. Opal, welcome to Out of the Pan.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
You are very, very welcome. Can I just check in if it's okay to ask with which pronouns you use, if any, and also which Aboriginal lands you happen to be on at this time?
Yes, my pronouns are they, them, but I really like to say, call me anything, just don't call me late for dinner.
Mm-hmm.
I'm an intersex person, and I'm on the lands of the Wurundjeri people. I'm up in Brunswick.
Not too far away from 3CR, and not too far away from where snuff puppets will be doing amazing things. And look, just looking again at the website for snuff puppets before I came on here, I am just utterly blown away by your creations. They're just amazing. They're just. I mean, I'm really, in a nice way, I'm speechless.
Yeah, totally. I feel like that's like a great thing about it is the puppets themselves are often speechless. They rarely speak ever.
This is true.
Which is a really funny, interesting thing. But yeah, it's pretty crazy, isn't it? It's been going for like 30 years, not puppets. Over 30 years now. And truly has brought those handmade horrors all around the world as well. I was really lucky and honoured to be able to work on this Cochlear project. As kind of someone who was like newer to the company over the last kind of like 5 or 6 years, it was really amazing to get to like lift up and elevate kind of trans and gender diverse voices, especially with a company that is like so, it's so punk rock, it's so hectic, it's so like in your face with its interface. And I think that it's just like such an important thing to kind of have these giant creatures or these beasts or these monsters on the streets just kind of disrupting this everyday sort of existence that we all are forced to exist in under capitalism. I think that as like an intersex and gender diverse person, that's kind of how I've always related to my gender. So it's quite stunning to also work with a company that does that with their puppets.
Yeah. No, look, you hit the nail on the head. Hit the nail on the head, sort of in terms of linking gender diverse as well as variation of sex characteristics and your puppetry. I mean, that's obviously, let me as well get right into it. That's something I wanted to explore. How does that all come together for you? How did it start? How does it keep going? How do you create with that, those things in mind? Because I was going to say also we get forced by society into gender binaries and sex characteristic binaries, and you're challenging that as well.
Yeah, it's. I feel like it's quite a like I started at SNUF in like 20 just before the pandemic. So I don't even know when that was, but just before it, and. Yeah, I was like, I remember getting off the train at Footscray Station as a listless artist in my mid-20s and was just like, God, I really don't know what I'm going to do with my... I need to figure out a thing. God, I need to figure out a thing so that I can, like, commit to it and then I can dedicate my life to it, but I have no idea what it's going to be. Mm-hmm. And then I got off the train at Footscray Station and saw these giant towering these people at the Boom Family, which is a this giant puppet series of a family from the western suburbs.
Yeah.
And I just saw them and was like, oh, something inside of me, like, I don't know, triggered and clicked. And I was like, this is it. And there was something about that, I think, with the, like, being a little gender freak, as I'd call myself. It's like, yeah, constantly kind of, I, like, to everyday society, I would say that they would perceive me as a gigantic man. It's not really, like, how I feel inside a lot of the time. And being these giant things on the street, I was like, oh, this is quite, like, confronting in a way that feels soothing to me. And, yeah, I think that that's, like, I don't know, I feel like it's maybe, like, an Andy Warhol quote or something, which, you know, maybe a little problematic, but, like, art to disturb the comfortable and comfort the disturbed. I think about that a lot. And I think that the puppets are such a cool thing because it's like, as a diverse person, going out onto the street, I'm like really good at performing. I'm really good at making people, I'm really good at moving through the world as a man because that's kind of what they kind of really wanted me to do. And so at times in my life when I've been like, okay, I'll do that, I do that. And then I'm like, wait a second, I'm not as good at this as I thought I was because I'm still not getting, like, the boys don't like me because I'm too feminine. And the girls don't like me because I'm too much of a boy. But then the trans and diverse people are like, come over here, sit with us. And I feel like that kind of lends itself to puppetry so fantastically. Because I think a lot of queer people are so used to embodying something that is not them. Like, we're used to being like, okay, well, I'm going to put on this mask, I'm going to put on this puppet, I'm going to put on this identity, and I'm going to move through the world in a way that I think I'm supposed to be. And then kind of getting giant puppets on, it's quite, like, liberating and amazing because a lot of people are drawn to it and they think it's very exciting. But it really does take a very specific kind of freak to, like, be able to handle it because it's really overwhelming. It's really confronting at times, the kind of, like, public performance puppetry. But it's, like, joyous. It's just extremely overstimulating. They're very hot. You can't see. You're being poked. You're being prodded. You're being, you know, kids are getting all up in your face, maybe. It's like kind of, for me, it felt like kind of reclaiming and like taking hold of my perception of myself in public, which I feel like is why I'm like obsessed with giant puppets. Because I get to go out into the public and be like, I'm not me anymore. I am now a giant bone, or I am a skeleton, or I am one of the many, you know, puppets from 30 years of snuff puppets. Maybe I'm a koala, maybe I'm a thylacine. And it's incredible kind of almost like taking control of the way people are looking at us and the way people are perceiving us, but also like being able to go outside and disrupt people's everyday existence with a giant bone walking past them or a thing that is larger than they could even comprehend, you know? So I've just kind of always thought that like puppetry and gender diversity are like, so, like, it's been doing puppetry and it's so healing for me. I just also proud to work with Snuff Puppets. It's such an incredible company. They're so confronting. They're so wild and overwhelming. And those are all kind of feelings that I felt like I have been, and I've been made to feel bad for. And I feel like when I first went to Snuff, it truly was like the first time I had people to look up to that were older than me. The first time I saw people that weren't like kind of you know, the Lee Bowery's or the like, people that are mythological icons. I was like, wow, I get to know you, and I finally feel like I found a home amongst the freaks. The squad is so queer. And this particular kind of really funny puppet queer. Like a puppeteer.
Look, I'm just sitting here. I've just got to say, I'm just drinking in this story, Opal, and loving it. It's in fact, I'm just there are honestly happy tears in my eyes listening to you talking about this, and on every angle that it helps you strengthen yourself as a whole person, including your sense of gender identity and expression, your artistry, the fact that you've got mentors. I mean, I don't know how good is that? There's a tough question from the interviewer.
Totally, it's funny because I'm not from Australia. I'm from a little tiny island in between France and England called Jersey. It's extremely small. It's extremely conservative, and it's extremely wealthy. And I grew up in state housing. Like, my family have always been very poor, and so I sometimes am like aghast and like blown away that I get to be around what I sometimes call like the greatest collection of, like, the strongest concentration of weirdos in the Southern Hemisphere. and that also that I've always found like this city pretty amazing because I can't see stuff puppets. Like, I've always been like, there's something particularly special about this, that we're able to do this here. And we're able to have a space that we're, a humongous space, the Drill Hall in Footscray, which is it's such an incredible spot. The puppets are able to live in and be supported and be, like, funded, you know?
Yeah.
And it's just about, it's about a lot of stuff, but I've always felt like it's kind of, like, about disrupting this kind of idea of how we're supposed to be and how the world's supposed to be. I'm a bit of a rambler, so I can understand.
That's all right. No, look, the thing is, you've got to get some of your giant snuff puppets. I just can't quite see them getting into the back seat of an Uber to get them across to the city of Darabin as part of Fuse Hearts Festival.
Yeah, that is absolutely when the moving truck comes in clutch. There's definitely been times in my experience with some of my own puppets where we've been waiting for a Uber. The Uber has arrived. The guy has looked out the window and he's just kept on driving.
Wow.
Yeah, it's just very funny. I can understand. They're not wet, you know? They're just weird.
Yeah, well, I mean, what would you rather have in your Uber, a snuff puppet or someone drunk? And let's not go there. Drilling in a little more specifically to Cochlear, tell us a little more about that one, which, of course, is coming up very, very soon in early September as part of Fuse Festival for City of Darabin Arts.
Yeah, so the cochlear is this 15-metre cochlear. Like, the cochlear is like the, you know, we call it the snail inside your brain. It's not like that, but it's like this funny little thing that lives inside your head that kind of houses the ossicles, which are like the smallest, the three tiniest bones in the human body, the malleus, the incus, and the species, I think.
Yeah.
And they kind of like transmit sound vibrations from the eardrum to the inner ear so that we can kind of like hear. And it's really amazing because snuff puppets has this like legacy of these incredible, incredible giant inflatable things as well as giant puppets. And as the puppeteers, we've always been like, we get inside them. You're not supposed to get inside them, but we'd like take the Velcro off and climb into it with the air being pumped. And that was a world that we were like, wow, we get to see this because we're in the warehouse and we're the artists working on it. How can we invite the public into this really weird liminal, like kind of like chamber of air that really makes you feel like you're on another planet? With Rob Wright, one of my best friends and one of the greatest people around, currently touring an amazing show in Edinburgh, and Nick Wilson from Stuff Puppets, one of the creative directors, again, an ultimate icon. The cochlear was built. Nick created a sculpture of it. We blew it up. We made it humongous. I think it's 1,000 times the size of the cochlear in our head. And the ossicles, I made those with my friends Cato and Liam Berg, Cato Zacharias and Liam Berg. We made these, yeah, these big puppets. So, like, the cochlea is there, this giant 15-meter thing. You can go inside. There's three giant ossicle puppets kind of dancing around it at times. But then, my, like, kind of one of my biggest contributions to the project of regarding the ossicles was gathering stories from gender-diverse communities and, people, about everything and anything, talking to them about their lives, their experiences, their loves, their losses, their feelings. It was kind of like the idea was to kind of like create this space where people can go into this liminal world and hear and speak, hear stories that they maybe don't get a chance to hear normally. Because whilst we're in like this incredible, amazing time of you know, trans and gender diverse voices being elevated more than ever before, does definitely feel like in the last little while that has gone down a bit, which is quite terrifying to me.
Indeed.
But yeah, it was just kind of like, there was kind of, I guess, a lot of avenues about it. It's kind of like this documentation and snapshot of a time with these interviews. And yeah, it's just, that's like a huge part of it. You can kind of go in there, sit down, kind of maybe get like got by the big puppets outside. You can go into the coffee, sit down in this big pink world, and listen to stories of our people. You know,
yeah.
And that's amazing because there's like a really beautiful, diverse amount of people who were interviewed. There were couples, individuals, young people, slightly older people, people from overseas, people from different cultural and linguistic diverse backgrounds. Because that's like the glorious thing about kind of gender expression is it's not linked to anything other than you, you know?
Yeah.
There's so many different, we could basically interview every trans and gender diverse person in the world, I think, and get quite a different story.
Well, this is true. I mean, there is the old adage that if you've heard one trans and gender diverse story, you've heard one trans and gender diverse story.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. And yeah, it's so, it's really amazing to, yeah, to get those things. And honestly, like, I feel so often when we bloody get together and we start talking about it, there's so rarely a dry eye in the room, you know? I feel like so quickly it's just like, yeah, isn't it? Wasn't that really hard? And then, yeah, oh my God, during these interviews, it was just so beautiful, like, talking to people, like, crying with them, laughing with them, being like, oh my God, this is actually so incredibly cooked and unfair and sad. Or being like, oh my God, it is so hilarious and funny and kind of all these things all at the same time, you know?
Yeah.
I think that's such a inherent thing about puppetry as well. It kind of blurs all that so quickly and so easily because puppets and the sort of stuff that we do, like, really, they can say stuff that people, like, you know, if it's a person saying it, it would be a bit like, gauche, perhaps. But when a puppet's saying it, or when you're able to, like, sit down in this thing and just listen to it, you just get to absorb it in a bit of a different way, which is why puppets are so important to protest. It gives people a different way to interpret it and to interact with it and see it as this big, beautiful, joyous thing. Instead of, like, maybe, like, a thing where people are like, oh, they're just making a big bloody mess on the street. When there's giant puppets and giant art roaming, you can't, it is joyous. It makes people joyous. It makes everyone relax. And it gives people, yeah, this chance to experience things in a way that you never, like, there's no other instance where you're ever going to hear a story like this. And that's not even just for the cochlea. That's also, like, all the puppets, I think.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, look, it just sounds, as I say, it just sounds utterly amazing. And just, I love listening to your passion talking about it, Opal. It's just, an authenticity and all that sort of thing combined is just makes it even more amazing. So it's going to translate through to the Fuse Festival. I mean, I'm sorry, I'm sort of happily overwhelmed in a nice way listening to you because there's so many things I'd just love to ask you. I've just got to try to get my brain onto them. It's having a slight neurodivergent overload, which is a good thing. But,
oh, my gosh. I'm right there with you. You get me on puppets. You get me on gender diversity. I'm not shutting up. And that's all we're talking about, you know? So.
Yeah, fair enough. exploring trans, non-binary, gender diverse inside the giant cochlear. Here's one thing. I'm just going to have to come back and do something. I think you mentioned right at the start you used the word intersex. How has that played a part in your, in your artist's journey and anything, and for that matter, anything else? Obviously, it's there. Yeah, you know, tell us a little about that part, because we still need to have conversations about variation of sex characteristics. We know there's not enough info there.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. I was thinking about this the other day, and I was like, I've actually never met another intersex person. I'm the only intersex person I've ever met, which has kind of rocked my world. So I was like, dang, I've never really realized that before. And what is crazy about being intersex is, when I was, in my early 20s, I came out as non-binary, very staunchly, really got angry at grandpa for not using the right pronouns, which I have very different feelings about now. I feel intersex is something that came to me a realization came to me later in my life where I was born with what I was told was an undescended precancerous testicle. And I was like, oh yeah, whatever. And then I spoke to someone and then I ended up requesting my birth records from this little island that I'm from and seeing that it was like a fallopian tube. And I was like, oh. And I was like 25. And it was kind of really rocked my world, because it was like, geez, my entire life, I've been desperate to, I've just been like, why aren't everyone bloody, why aren't I allowed to join them? What's so different and wrong about me that the boys don't want me and the girls don't want me? Geez, this is really annoying. And it's like, well, says, honey, biologically, you're a little bit different to everyone. That's what it is. It's not like you're a failed boy. You're just actually separate from them. And I'd already come out as non-binary, and I was always really feeling empowered in that identity. And then I was really I was like, dang, don't put the doctor told me, baby trans. Which is, I don't think a lot of people get that experience with the doctor. Just kind of carrying that into everything. I feel like that realization really changed a lot for me, because I was I think it's kind of stuff I touched on a bit. It's like trying so hard to be a part of something, not really understanding why you're different, not really understanding why something's wrong with me. I'm being told something's wrong with me. And it's like, no matter how hard I try, no matter how desperate I am to fit myself into this little box, it's just simply not going to work. And you're never going to be on the inner circle of any of these feelings, you know? And so I think that a big part of that, I would describe myself as a satellite. I'd kind of be a satellite through friend groups. And I'd be like, you know, I orbit them sometimes, I orbit these people sometimes. But I just kind of fly around. And then kind of that realization with my gender, with my literal biological sex, and also I think the pandemic as well really changed a lot, and I think we never do that. But what I say now is positioning myself as the sun. I am the center of the solar system. I am the most important person to my community, because I'm at the center of that. It is me, and I only have control over me. And kind of seeing myself more as a center instead of someone on the outside of things really just changed it all, because I feel like having that perspective of being like, oh, you know, no one likes me, or I'm not able to be a part of this, or there's something wrong with me, it's pretty rough, but people don't really want to hang out with someone who feels like that. Kind of having this, I guess, medical confirmation. And stuff like that. Yeah, I think it just kind of, I make my own puppets, and I do, as soon as there's a snap puppet gig, I'm all over it, because it's just so empowering to go out and be kind of a beacon of weirdness and strangeness, which is kind of what I always felt like. Yep. And now I am doing it intentionally, and I'm not being told I am it. I just am going out and being like, oh, you think that's strange? Look at this. I'll show you strange. I've got a fallopian tube. What's going on there?
You're just happy in yourself, and it radiates outwards.
Yeah, I'm a bloody darndest.
Yeah. Just while I think of it, it should be mentioned that Joy 94.9 does have an intersex-focused program, the Eye in Us, 6 till 7 on Thursday nights. And I think in the spirit of community radio and rainbow communities, that needs a mention. But let's just, I think if we've got everything covered about Cochlear at Fuse Festival, I think, I think we're pretty much got it covered, but I'll just check with you. Is there anything else that you really wanted to cover about the exhibition, about Cochlear?
Yeah, I'm just thinking. I think I rambled enough. I think that if I could, like, very maybe sneakily plug one tiny other thing.
Sure.
I work with this organization also called Inclusive Rainbow Voices, and once a month we have a community cafe that I host that is just a space for queer and gender diverse people to jump on a Zoom call, you know, lots of people, kind of like it's kind of disability focused, lots of people who are from all over Australia who maybe don't have a big queer community or maybe are unable to leave the house or things like that. We just get on this community cafe at Inclusive Rainbow Voices once the first Wednesday of every month.
Thank you.
And I do exactly this and just ramble and we chat and we have loads of fun. And I just am so excited to do this at Darabin because I just love getting our voices out there and
Absolutely.
Shoving them in people's faces. And they think, oh, what is this weird, strange thing? Let's go listen to it. And they might go in and they go, oh, it's bloody stories about bloody trans people. And it's like, yeah, and you loved it until you realised that. So sit down, shut up, and take it in because it liberates you as well.
Absolutely. All right.
Yeah.
Once again, let's just see if I've got those, can find those dates in front of me. I will get them back up. Cochlear, 5th of September, I think it was.
Yeah, it is the, my God, it's hard finding dates, isn't it? The 5th to the 7th at, I think it's Northcote Town Hall, is it? And yeah, come on down. If the ossicles aren't out as well, if there aren't any big white, weird, lumpy puppets walking around, just hang out for a bit because they're probably just having a break.
Well, that's right. They're having a coffee break. We won't deny, or dare I say, a monster drink. I mean, anyway, but
yeah, totally. Yeah.
Yep. All right. Yeah. Well, I will put all the details of the event into our program podcast. Also, the any links for Inclusive Rainbow Voices, which is great. Yes, we need that for people who are isolated. Opal, keep flying along. Keep doing amazing creativity and great community work because every milligram of it is needed at the moment.
Yeah,
and all the best for all the great work in the future and the exhibition.
Thank you so much. And to everyone at home, I say, come out of the closet. Come out.
Come out. All right. I'll let you go back to your life disconnected from radio for now. Thanks again, Opal. Have a great one.
Thanks. You too. Bye.
What a great, I'm as I say, happily overwhelmed. This is why I love doing the program and hearing from people like Opal who, you know, lift people and put their creativity into the world. Damn fine. All right, let's have some more music. And, I sort of went off on a neurodivergent tangent putting the music together today, which is musically diverse. And after we played Puppet on a String by Jojo Zepp and the Falcons, the next thing that came up with string was a band called the Yonder Mountain String Band. And here's their version of John Hartford's Granny, Won't You Smoke Some Marijuana. 3CR, 855 AM, 3CR Digital, 3cr.org.au, 3CR On Demand. Out of the Pan with Sally.
1, 2, 3, 4. Smoke some marijuana.
Camp Rewind.
Play it backwards, man.
It's not supposed to be trust most of us.
Vote for Bush. No!
This is Hogan.
Bisexual Alliance Victoria is a not-for-profit organisation dedicated to equality and justice for multigender attracted people, including bi, pan, regardless of label or no label at all, their partners and allies. Bisexual Alliance runs discussion groups in person and online. The group offers a safe and fun space to share your experiences, ask any questions regarding your sexual identity, and provide peer support. Bisexual Alliance is especially keen to hear from multigender attracted people in regional and rural Victoria. Donations of $2 or more to Bisexual Alliance are now tax deductible. For more information, visit our website at bi-alliance.org, email info@bi-alliance.org, or find us on Facebook or Twitter.
A 3CR supporter. I'm bisexual.
Out of the Pan thanks Go Kindly for their sponsorship of this program. Go Kindly creates high-quality, locally-made bedding, donating 50% of profits to support women and gender-diverse people experiencing housing stress. Check out gokindly.com.au and take their pillow quiz.
3CR, 855 AM, 3CR Digital, 3CR.org.au, 3CR On Demand, Out of the Pan with Sally. First broadcasting noon through one every Sunday afternoon. Thanks for your company. And we just heard from the Yonder Mountain String Band in a blatant neurodivergent attempted segue. And Granny, Won't You Smoke Some Marijuana? Well, I think I will invoke content note, general warning for this segment. Content note, homophobia, particularly in sport, and double particularly in sport played by people of a man gender identity. So if you anything in the following discussion is triggering, 1800 184527 is the number for QLife, including Switchboard in Victoria and Tasmania. Rainbow Door, 1-800-729-367 to phone them, and SMS them on 0480-017-246. And yes, thank you, Roving Reporter. You're roving across the various platforms after being on SMS for so long. You're now over on outofthepan855@gmail.com. You seriously, listeners, get in touch with us by whatever means of mode of communication. Is it a mode or a means? Anyway, let's not have another neurodivergent ramble. That suits you. Roving's asked, can we discuss this week's actions by the AFL? Yes, deep breath. caffeine blockers or something to not get too stressed. It's a fair point. It's a totally fair question. And look, this whole issue with in terms of Ivar Rankine and Adelaide Crows player who put a pretty severe homophobic slur on an opponent in a match and has ended up with a multi-match suspension that if Adelaide win, Adelaide Crows are now securing a top two spot, so they get their first qualifying finals at home. If they win that, they go directly through to the prelims. Then they might, if they play in the grand final, so be it. If they lose that qualifying final, they'll have another match at home, a semi-final, and then play preliminary and then grand if it goes to plan. And part of the equation was, apparently Ivar's had a great season and he shouldn't be suspended and miss the grand final. Sorry, why? What difference does that make, first of all? Very poorly handled. That should never have been a factor. The penalty is the penalty, whether it's finals or not. And the emotiveness and the fact that that is even a consideration, I don't know, that just seems pretty, just plain, just doesn't stack up to me, I suppose, in my book. If the AFL's really serious about tackling homophobia and biphobia, transphobia, then and anything to do with diversity, then you can't make that sort of excuse. It seems there's been a lot of rationalisations made about it, and it doesn't really seem like the general opinion of queer people around the traps on social media is that it hasn't been handled with the sincerity. Now, whether it has or not is another question, but what's the saying? Perception is reality. Really, really poor. And homophobia is, of course, just as unacceptable as racism or misogynism or anything else. And so you can't be seen to be going weaker on one form or aspect of diversity than the other. To use a favourite phrase of mine, it seems like the AFL's being a bit selectively woke in how it's handled this, rather than being consistent. And to me, that doesn't roll. Yes, of course. For example, yes, certainly people of colour, Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander face a huge amount of prejudice overall. But when it comes to taking each, we'll say, situation, it has to be done one at a time. And I don't see that Ivar Rankine, just because finals are involved or he's had a great season, that's any reason to be any more lenient. And I think they haven't handled it well and haven't handled the optics of it that well at all. There's another couple of things that I suppose you'd add here. We still have not, to my knowledge, had an out gay or bi male player in at high-level AFL, to my knowledge. But also, when I think about it, have there been any out gay or bi male top-ranked officials, umpires, anyone? That, to me, of course, just seems utterly incongruous. Australia, you know, overall, by any objective measure, and I suppose when you not that really it's the issue compared to other countries, in terms of gay and lesbian, from overall, and I will emphasise that word, is a better place to live for gay and lesbian, yet a major sport has not had one player come out. Round ball / soccer has had Josh Cavallo from Adelaide. There was rugby league in the 90s with Ian Roberts, but AFL men's hasn't had one yet. Of course, plenty of AFL women's players out as lesbian or bi, and a couple of non-binary players as well. There was mentioned a report a few weeks ago of one non-binary player having double mastectomy to make themselves feel comfortable. So I think there's something very telling that no one is no one out at that level. And this is why this just is not perceived as the right environment. And I still think, I've said this for years, that it's going to need a few people to get together and come out at once to share the load in that initial phase. And then we might see some movement. But I suppose it's no one wants to be first. Now, Roving's added another good question in here. Why was Snoop Dogg used as part of the discussion, or was it a legal strategy by the Crows team? Well, look, I honestly don't know if it's a legal strategy by the Crows team. But, there's issues here with Snoop Dogg, who's made homophobic and misogynistic remarks. Now, Snoop Dogg is, I'm not sure of the word he would use for himself, but someone who might come under black or person of colour. And now, as a former stand-up comedian, in terms of arts, the rule such as in stand-up is you only make, you do material about parts of your sense of self that you identify with in real life. Now, if Snoop Dogg wants to be self-deprecating and use a word or reclaim it, then that's his call. You know, and that's the same anywhere, same as we might want to reclaim queer, or people working, sex workers might want to reclaim whore, for example. But, you know, there's issues about Snoop Dogg, but, and someone else has said, someone who was a guest on this program many, many moons ago, Cheryl Critchley, one of the, who's the president of the AFL Fans Association, in her capacity as an individual, said, why are we having Snoop Dogg come out when he's controversial, to do the grand final when there's probably mountains of good Australian acts? This is a good question. Why are we not supporting local talent? Or are we just trying to get more international viewers? And look, it should be noted that Snoop Dogg has been a part, and today I'm mentioning it in a serious context, at 46 minutes and 45 seconds as part of WrestleMania about 2 years ago, three WrestleManias back. And, you know, that's not good either. It just hasn't been handled well at all, I suppose, is my direct answer to your question. And the Snoop Dogg thing shouldn't even come into it. You know, sort of homophobia is not on in any setting. And Roving's said there's at least 13 openly queer NFL players in the USA and growing. So that's their American gridiron type of footling ball. Why are we behind here? And, you know, one would think that on gay and lesbian, I haven't seen any research lately, in for lack of better words, comparing Australia to the USA, but you'd think overall on gay and lesbian, we might be about equal. So, yeah, big, not good at all in terms of that. And, you know, the thing is, what's got to... what's got to change? You know, it's all very well to set a name of, say, you know, such as the idea I've had of having a few people together, but what's going to turn it around? What's going to make people feel safe to do that? It can take a lot of work to get that done, and it just seems that culture is dropping behind. Very poor to me that how the AFL's handled it, and it's not going to progress things at all. And yes, you do need to penalise people, but you always need to make sure that things are positive for people to be themselves. Wow. All right. I think I'll have a breather and play another couple of messages. And then we'll come back. I'll have some more discussion on this, or if you've got any other topics for me that we can squeeze in quickly before Freedom of Species, we'll do that. In the meantime, you're on Out of the Pan with Sally on 3CR, 3CR 855 AM, digital, 3cr.org.au, 3CR on demand.
And on 3CR 855, get your slice of local film action every Thursday at 11 a.m. For half an hour, get a dose of what's new
and who's who in the art of film. Join Annie
and Muhammad
for Showreel on Thursday, 11 a.m, 3CR 855 on your AM dial.
See you then.
Algorithms have become these gatekeepers to opportunity. They're already deciding who gets hired, who gets health care, how long a prison sentence someone serves. And what I didn't realize is that a lot of these algorithms haven't been vetted for accuracy. We don't even know how accurate they are. They often run on what's popular, and we all know what's popular isn't always good. And they haven't been vetted for racial bias and for gender bias. bias. I had no idea the scope of invasive surveillance, the preciseness to which they can predict our behavior, and how vulnerable all of us can be to sort of predatory practices because of these algorithms. And so we need some protections in place as citizens.
You're listening to 3CR Community Radio 855 AM on digital and online. 3CR Radical Radio.
Yep, 3CR 855 AM, 3CR Digital, 3cr.org.au, 3CR On Demand, Out of the Pan, with Sally, first broadcasting noon through one every Sunday afternoon. Thanks for your company. Just about out of time today at 9 minutes to one on our 3CR. And Freedom of Species comes up at 1 o'clock. I forgot to mention earlier, thank after playing the message, our fab sponsors on this program being Go Kindly. Well, 3CR, great. If you want to support one of our programs, get in touch with our office during business hours on 0394198377, or you can contact the station manager via our website, and they're the ones to see if you're someone who would you think could fit in and sponsor a program here. We'd always love that support in that way. Freedom of Species today are playing an interview the interview of volunteers at their sponsor, Project Fresh Start, a not-for-profit feeding and connecting the community. That's the sort of thing that if 3CR does in terms of our people who support our programs, great to have them on board as well. Rovings come in to mention a former AFL men's player who I'm almost reluctant to name, who was rejected to speak at a university function, but we'll mention it once and think we get away with it. Sam Newman, he was rejected to speak at a university function this week, and Rovings called out that I mentioned that the blokey culture needs to be called out as it's deeply ingrained in AFL. I think you're onto something there. Look, I try as much as possible to, we'll say, play the ball, not the person, and talk about the arguments, not the issues. But I remember I made an exception to this when doing media some years ago, because Sam Newman has just, he fends once and then he goes again and again. And there's probably, we could play amateur Freudian stuff and, be the, assume it's some sort of attention-seeking thing or whatever. But, I in the end said, enough is enough. Why are we even publicising this guy's silly comments and behaviours and stunts? And even a prominent commercial radio presenter of the time seemed to agree with that. Now, Mr. Newman claims he's been cancelled. Well, it's all very well to say he's not going to talk about certain topics as per this newspaper report from a well-known tabloid that operates in this country, which I certainly won't give any promotion to. And he even claimed, he said he would avoid controversial topics like Welcome to Country and trans women in sports. Of course, he's had a whinge. Well, people say, I got cancelled. Well, who cancels you? The only person cancelling Sam Newman is Sam Newman or J.K. Rowling or whoever else it is. Take responsibility for yourself. It's not that hard. I think that, these, well, what do they say, whinging man baby sort of people they need to be called out. So at least I suppose we're, trying to tackle the extremes, but that's about where it ends. Anyway, I've got to get out of here. Make way for Freedom of Species. Again, they're talking with volunteers from there. Fab sponsor, Project Fresh Start. Rotations at 2. Who knows if Madison will be in playing strange music today. Radisson might certainly be in at 3. And sorry, the chat that I had with Atlas about my wrestling journey wasn't on last week. So that could be coming up on a future episode of Queering the Air at 3. And then Salaam Radio Show 4 till 6. Always a great afternoon or 24/7 listening on 3CR. Given that the Fuse Festival is coming up, I picked out this one today and we'll play as much as we can from this track from legendary Australian blues man Dave Hull and the title track of his album Short, Fuse Blues. Keep your fuse long, everyone. Thanks for tuning in to Out of the Pan. I'm Sally Goldner. Catch you next week.
Across town.